Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How's everyone doing? This is your brother Abdurrahman Wahid coming to you live from Warren, Michigan, in my itikaf masjid, Masjid Uthman bin Affan. Do I sound like my brother Sheikh Abdullah coming live from Flint, Michigan? Well, this brother just said salam to us on live. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We can't change the time now, but it's getting tough, you know, so we're going to give some brothers and sisters some time to come on. Because on the in the East Coast, we just our iftar was at 8:44. Then we prayed Maghrib at 8:45. By the time we got done Maghrib, it was 9. Then we start. We had to get right here quickly, and so we didn't even eat. So I have some dal in my bowl right here, which I'll get to in a bit. So alhamdulillah, how's everyone doing? I see Kaku from Lahore. Mashallah, his name is Umar Iqbal. He's a close friend of mine. Assalamu alaikum. I see all the brothers and sisters, Serene, Sister Sauda, mashallah. We have a Sister Aisha, Sister Khadija. You know, your names are coming in front of us all the time. It's like we're family, even though we've never seen each other. Like, I see your names almost every single day, and we appreciate your dedication and your, you know, just coming on every night. Brother Bilal, Brother Muhammad, I know where he's from, South Cal, because he says it all the time. Sister Khadija, she says it from UK, mashallah. Ammar Al-Qawqa, mashallah. He is from the blessed city of Dearborn. I'm not sure where he lives now, but we love you too, brother. We miss you as well. Then we have this Miftah Sista. I don't know who she is, but assalamu alaikum, wherever you're from. Brother Tariq Durrani, I remember your hug on the day my brother passed away. So may Allah, for the janazah, may Allah bless you, man. Sister Hadika, we have Zabi, Aisha, Hussein, and we have Michigan. Oh, this sister Miftah is from Michigan, Munawwara. That's straight from Mufti Sheikh Abdullah's dictionary, mashallah. Then we have Shelly Khan, Trinidad and Tobago. That's my Trinidadian friends. You know, I used to spend a lot of time in Florida, and we have my Trinidadian friends and Guyanese friends from there. Mashallah, I love them. They're the most laid-back people in the world, mashallah. Khadija Arshad from Pakistan, Jazakallah Khair for joining us from there. Thank you, everyone. Alhamdulillah, tonight's the 22nd, we're going to be the 28th Juz. And subhanAllah, time is flying by. And I'm sorry if I didn't get everybody. Sister Serena is from India, mashallah. I know, we've seen your comments before, mashallah. Junaid Ahmed, 5 minutes away from you, mashallah. I appreciate everyone coming on today. And, today is the 28th Juz, and you know it's unbelievable that we just went through 27th night last night. It was an amazing night for us in i'tikaf. I hope everyone else had a great 27th night, and hopefully the last few nights of Ramadan are going to be even better, and we feel like through our tears our sins are being cleansed. And inshallah, Allah will accept all of our efforts. At the end of the day, you know, like the angels say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, when the angels that have been worshipping Allah their entire life, their entire existence, all they've been doing is sajda, they've been doing ruku, they've been doing qiyam, their entire life. And finally, when they get in front of Allah on the day of judgment, they're going to say, Subhanaka ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik. Glory be to you, we did not worship you in the true right form of worshipping you. We did not fulfill the right of worshipping you. So it doesn't matter how much we do, we're not going to fulfill the right of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we can do our best. You know, so we should be excited, feel good about whatever ibadah we did. Of course, it's not going to be enough. It's never, but we did our best, inshallah, hopefully. And the ones who couldn't do it, we still have a few nights left, and inshallah, Allah will bless us for our ibadah, for our du'as. We make du'a for the brothers and sisters who are in Aqsa, trying their best to protect this blessed land. And Sister Sheikh Abdul Rahman, please give a shout out to my daughter, Samra. And you know, Sister Samra, 8 years old. If you were here, I would have given you, every time I see a baby or a child, I always give them money. I love children. Today was your first Roza. Inshallah, it's going to be a start of many more Rozas and fasts. And you know, you're inshallah, one day when we see you, remind me that who you are, and I will definitely, I got your gift in my pocket. I usually have some cash in my pocket just hanging around, you know, 20 bills like this hanging around if I see kids. I learned that from my teacher, and I'm not trying to, you know, say this on live, but I think it's, if you can do it too, that'd be great. I'm a poor little guy, but kids, they're the most innocent things in the world, and hopefully we can be good parents and guide them towards, you know, better places, and not be bad examples. So, you know, some so, you know, may Allah bless you, man, and all the other kids who are watching. You know, this there's the best life to live is the life of respecting and obeying your parents and just being nice to them. Your main objective should be to make sure their feet are pressed and they have a smile on their face. That's it. Khalas, if you achieve that, you get everything in this world. If you don't achieve that, then Yasser Suleiman, man, hey, Yasser, if you were 8 years old, I'd probably do that too. So you can't demand that right now. So Huda Siddiq from Rochester, 10 years old. Inshallah, we'll see you one day too, inshallah. I'm going to call one of my itikaf satis. He's been spending time with me. He 5 years ago, he started his itikaf, his journey of knowledge. He did itikaf with me 5 years ago. We had a great time. And from that itikaf, he was motivated to become an alim. He's done 5 years of alim course. Now he's going to be going to his final year. Whenever he comes for itikaf, so 5 years went by so fast, I pretty much take a back seat. I don't lead tarawih anymore. And he does the qiyam, and his, you know, he softens our hearts through his voice. MashaAllah, he's a very soft voice. Very, very good kid. He's inshallah an adult now. And we love him, and he loves us as well. His parents are very nice to us. They make dua for us all the time from Canton. They're not from far, and his name is Hanzullah. So I'm going to call him up. But why don't you come up too, and you can come. And I'm going to call him up. I'm going to call him up right now, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Looks like Mufti Saab stepped away to call the young brother. How is everyone doing?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. Oh, khalas, we want to hear you recite. That's what we want to hear. Bismillah. Let's recite first.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون يغفر لكم ذنوبكم ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ومساكن طيبة في جنات عدن ذلك الفوز العظيم وأخرى تحبونها نصر من الله وفتح قريب وبشر المؤمنين يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا أنصار الله كما قال عيسى بن مريم للحواريين من أنصاري إلى الله قال الحواريون نحن أنصار الله فآمن الطائفة من بني إسرائيل وكفر الطائفة فأيدنا الذين آمنوا على عدوهم فأصبحوا ظاهرين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض الملك القدوس العزيز الحكيم هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين وآخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم وهو العزيز الحكيم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا بئس مثل القوم الذين كذبوا بآيات الله والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين قل يا أيها الذين هادوا إن زعمتم أنكم أولياء لله من دون الناس فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين ولا يتمنونه أبدا بما قدمت أيديهم والله عليم بالظالمين قل إن الموت الذي تفرون منه فإنه ملاقيكم ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون وإذا رأوا تجارة أو لهوا انفضوا إليها وتركوك قائما قل ما عند الله خير من اللهو ومن التجارة والله خير الرازقين صدق الله العظيم
MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, alhamdulillah. That was so soothing. That was so beautiful. Barakallah feek. How are you doing, alhamdulillah?
Alhamdulillah, Masa. Alhamdulillah.
JazakAllah khair. You look like you're awkward. You want to leave. I'll let you go. I won't embarrass you on screen. Go ahead.
We'll okay. See
you
later. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu
alaikum. That was beautiful. I mean, so soothing. Quran, so soothing. That's why you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so many times when he heard from some of his students recite Quran, and he would just pause and listen, and he would admire their recitation. And that was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the kalam of Allah, the word of God. And then ma adina Allahu li shay'in ma adina nabiyyan yataghanna bil Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not pay attention to anything, meaning so much importance to listening to the Prophet recite the Quran in a beautiful voice. Allah pays attention to everything, but when it comes to recitation, Allah gives His khas rahmah, His special mercy is directed to that person who recites the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, it is Allahu nazzala ahsan hadithi kitaban mutashabihan mathani. The Quran has everything in it. And then Allah says, تَخْشَعِرُّ مِنْهُ جُلُودُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشُنَ رَبَّهُمْ ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُلُودُهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. The heart softens people's hearts. It also has an effect on their body. The people are tuning in from the United Kingdom and all parts of the world. If you can please identify your location.
Jen, I did that drill for you already.
Okay. If you already did that, so just let us know if you work for the Secret Service. But whoever you are, wherever you are, I hope you guys are enjoying the program. Mufti Saab, you know, I'm excited for Ramadan to end because I don't have to do more live sessions, but I'm sad because I've built this relationship with the audience, right? So we have someone from Calgary, Canada. you know, in London, you know. And we have people from all around the world. I don't even know your family's New Jersey.
This guy, Bajan. Agent.
anyways, so these are so many people. Look, from Saudi Arabia, mashallah, land of the holy Makkah, Medina, holy sites. You're looking at this program. People are joining us from, look at this one, this guy. Oh, from Pind in Gujarat, Punjab. Hey, ki hal hai, Paji. You know, I don't know if that's a Paji or whatever it is. But, you know, they wrote Pind, Gujarat, Punjab. My halwa puri came out. I don't know what it was. So you have Michigan. People in Michigan always say, you always forget about us. How can I forget about Michigan? Michigan is my home, you know? You know, I'm speaking out of my house here in Michigan, alhamdulillah. So it's beautiful that we have so many. So we built this relationship with these people from Grand Blanc, from Virginia, and all these parts of the world, all these different states. And I've never met these majority of these people. Have you met these people?
John, you know, the saddest part is, like, our brother was one of these people on this, you know, last year. And we would see his comments. He would make us laugh. He would, if you go back to the comments from last year, the one who's always saying, make Mufti Saab sing. I heard he has a good voice. You know, make Sheikh Abdullah read Quran. He's an amazing voice. I think his name was like Abdullah something or something like that. He didn't name his Abdul Rahim. And so we would see it, his comments, and we would, you know, I would always get entertained by his comments. He used to watch us religiously, right? And the thing about this is, you know, people that are, we got so familiar with these names and each other even. Some of you guys recognize each other's names. And, you know, hopefully Allah gives us another year and we get to see each other. I mean, who knows if I'm going to be here next year, you're going to be here next year. So nobody knows, you know? So khalas, enjoy the moment that we're in, benefit the most from it. And so that's what makes it even better, you know? That makes it better. Like, you know, we're here. Otherwise, you know, we're going to, there's some names I miss, you know, I'm not sure if they're even alive, honestly. We used to see them all the time. And hopefully they are, and, you know, they're, you know, we don't know if wherever they are in the world. And, you know, we want to make, hopefully we get to see each other one day. But until then, we just get to see each other virtually and see your names. And the thing about live, Bajan, that's the beauty about live. I mean, that's the thing about live. You develop a different connection, you know. If it was recorded and we put it on, like, khalas, like, you can't engage this way. And I know it's very difficult. This Ramadan was really challenging to go live, seriously. But alhamdulillah, it was completely worth it, alhamdulillah. And,
there was times in the middle of this program that you guys put together, you and Mufti Abdulwahab, I was like, man, I can't believe I committed to this. I was regretting it. And I would tell my wife, you know. And then I just, in the last 2-3 nights, I've been so busy that I just came and stationed myself in the masjid. So I can go from here to Taraweeh and come back, because getting up, driving, and then revising a few times before recitation, leading. But then, you know, we thought about what's the best time for the audience. People, you know, sipping on their tea, sitting back with their family. People from England just finished the hold in Europe. So this was the perfect time. And I don't know if this is going to be practical next year or not. But I've definitely had a great roller coaster ride with you, Mufti Abdulrahman. And it's been unbelievable. Last year we had a great time. Like, you know, and I know you said Abdul Rahim, rahmatullah alayh. But I mean, I'm not worried about him. He's in a better place. You know, he's gonna have his first Eid in Jannah, you know? So he's gonna have a better Eid than us. We're gonna, you know, stand in line, go to the parking, you know, and stuff like that. But the reality is, in this whole experience, I remember getting to Dallas the other day. This is in December. I went to Dallas and I walked into a masjid in Dallas. This 10-year-old kid came up to me. He's like a dutpati. I was like, what? He's like, well, Sheikh Abdullah, would you like some dutpati? And I was like, who the heck are you? Like, you know, like, I didn't say it like that, but I was like, excuse me, you know, excuse me. And he's like, I watch everything you do. I mean, I've been watching you for so long, and I'm your biggest fan. I'm like, man, first of all, don't look up to us, look up to prophets and companions. But I'll take the dutpati. Yeah, I would. And he was so excited. He went home, and I just try to make the kid happy. So what I do is, when people offer me things, I have a philosophy. You know my philosophy?
You have a couple of philosophies, I know.
This is like Aristotle. If he was alive, he would adapt his philosophy. I have a philosophical ideology, and that is that when someone offers you something, never say no.
Just take it.
I'm just joking, but someone says to me, like, Sheikh Abdullah, why do you like, you're so like, you never hesitate. I said, sometimes kids like him, you know, who are so small, maybe that makes their day. Like, you know, oh, I'm bringing tea for someone.
And should I tell him the philosophy about eating out? My brother's philosophy for eating out, since he, I don't know, he's born with this philosophical brain of his since he was a child.
It's more like philosophical stomach.
Philosophical stomach. So his philosophy is this. I think it's a great idea too. He said, whenever you go to a restaurant, don't ever try to order something new on the menu. Just order the regular. But if someone else is going and he's paying for it and you're the guest, make sure you order something new. Because, you know, even if it doesn't taste good, you didn't waste your money. And I see my brother doing that all his life. Like, he will never he will never order something new if he's paying for it. And if someone else is, he's going to always look at the menu, read through the whole thing, and get the craziest thing on the menu so that, you know, if it tastes good, great. Now I'm going to start ordering that. But otherwise, so your stomach philosophies are pretty interesting, Bhajan. If someone asks my brother, do you want chai or coffee? He says, I'll get both.
Oh, yeah. See, sometimes if you use my philosophy on your wife, you get Japan. So be careful. So you don't want to get the juta. You know, you want the paratha, not the Japan. But this is dangerous. You have to be wise enough. And, you know, it's all about the timing. It's about who you're talking to. When I was in Seattle at Sheikh Abdulaziz's in-law's house, you know, they're very healthy people. They eat healthy food. And they're a great family. Ijaz Bhai, I love him so much. His family was so...
That's a good startup. I get it. You know, you don't have to do that. You could go straight to it if you want.
I love Ijaz Bhai. He's one of my favorites. So when I was there, they were taking care of me. They were going out of their way for me. And every morning they would have chai, coffee, and you know, his wife would ask. I would say both. And then they would say, you want this? I was like, yeah, sure. And then another student was with me and they're like, Sheikh Abdullah, you like? I was like, you know, one of my philosophies is that when you're a guest at someone's house, you keep the host busy. You know, if he's watching, because Ijaz Bhai loves serving you. Now, if you tell him, I don't want anything, he's going to think that something's wrong in the food, something's wrong with the hospitality. Like the host feels uncomfortable. Like you're not, like, you, why are you being so? So first of all, I have no sharam, you know?
No, don't say that.
But at the same time, I enjoy people. I love friends like that. I have a good
we'll just start with that tafsir. But when my brother comes home, Sheikh Abdullah, when he comes to my mom's house, my mom's on her feet, on her toes. She's got to make sure, all of us are there the whole time. She's not going to be worried. Sheikh Abdullah comes, the food's going to be out. The plates are going to be on the dasturkhan. Everything's going to be perfectly fine. And then we make fun of my mom, like, oh, abhi ek hi berta hai na aapka, ek hi berta hai. But, you know, my brother's stomach philosophy, I guess, has been happening.
somebody invited me over because I stopped at someone's house before iftar today. And they're like, Sheikh Abdullah, stay at our house. Always is like, stay at my house. I'm like, you know, this is Ramadan when my wife is in her spiritual mode. She's making food for me. You know, like, I want to be home. I want to take I don't want to miss this opportunity. It's like, just, you know, next time, you know.
May Allah bless all those people who ever host us. They always host us with so much love. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. So may Allah bless all these guys. We're always being hosted, you know, it's not because of us, but it's because of our nisbah. Our nisbah is to the scholars and our connection, our relationship with the ilm, with Quran, with Sunnah. If we were just some regular people talking, no one will come even listen to us. We're only people are coming to see us because we are talking about ilm, talking about deen, and our nisbah is with that. So it's not us, but who we're connected to. We're connected to the Prophet ﷺ, we're connected to ilm. And so all credit goes to them. Walak alhamd, and all credit goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, we just now thinking about the 28th Juz, Bhajan, as I was thinking about it, man, thinking about you, like, this is a perfect segue into that. You know, the thing is, when you're in the 27th night, I'm just going to give you this roller coaster ride. You know, if you ever go to a roller coaster, you're sitting there, then it moves, a thrill dragster or Millennium Force, then it goes up, then you're going down, there's a certain, you know, sometimes you go upside down, there are twists. like, look at the 27th night roller coaster in Itikaf. Okay, you started with Tarawih, so you went going up. Then you had a tafsir after Tarawih, and then, you know, people were up there. And then right after Tarawih, we have a snack session for 1 hour, and we have every single unhealthy food under the Dasturkhan. Like, you want to, this is a place where you develop, like, you know, this is everything. This is bad for everybody, diabetes, cholesterol, everyone. But if you're in the masjid, nothing happens to you. But this is not the top 10, but then this is the moments of the Quran.
Oh, man, I thought it was top 10, man. I lost my mind today with all my philosophical stuff.
So then you're going up there and you eat the snacks. And then after that, so you go a little bit down iman-wise, right? You go a little bit down because you're chilling, joking, laughing. And then you start the hajj and starts going back up, right? And then you had this a beautiful dua. I mean, the whole masjid was crying. Wasima was there yesterday. You know, it was like everyone was into it. There was someone in that masjid yesterday that was just so soft-hearted. And people were crying. It was such an amazing feeling. Okay, Bajan? Wallahi, it was an amazing feeling.
I wish I was there, man.
It was a masjid. It was packed. All these, and 99% of the people were youngsters. We consider Wasima young too. They were all youngsters. I mean, subhanAllah. And Alhamdulillah is the one that read 8 rakats. He read the whole 28 juz. I mean, our hearts are already soft. And then after that, so we were all at the height then, right? And then after that, we had to eat suhoor. So then we had to go back to the tablecloth and start eating. Then we start talking and joking and stuff. So that was one night. But Jan, that's how life is. You're never going to be in the moment where tears are flowing down your eyes. You can't stay in that moment. If you stay in that moment, you're not going to be able to enjoy life. And at the same time, you're not supposed to be enjoying all the time either. But what you're supposed to remember at the times of enjoyment is the feeling of the tears is the one that you're after, not the feeling of the cheers.
Wow.
It's the feeling of the tears that you're after, not the feeling of the cheers.
It's the thrill of the tears, not the thrill of the cheers.
It's not. I mean, the cheers are part of it. Khalas, you know, we're going to have a good time wherever we are, right? But when we get out of the masjid after Fajr, we're not coming back and saying, we're not going home and saying, yo, we had a good time, man. We sent the suhoor to Sukhan, you know, and we just chilled. Rather, what we're remembering is that moment where we stood, we cried and all that, and you know, our tears were getting dry and we were getting tired. That's what we're remembering. That's how life is, Bajan. That's how life is. You know, we get today as we talk to you all. You know, of course, people, I will lie, after Fajr, I said to people, because we're all youngsters and you know, we always have a good time. If you see us on camera like this, we are like that. You know, we're not different. People that know us, we're the same way. Actually, even people have a good time, they come around, we have a good time. I said to people after Fajr, I said, if someone was standing at the door watching this whole scene, they might think we're hypocrites. Like, wow. How do you go from here to here? But they won't, because they will fail to understand we're humans. Wow. And human beings have to go through this. And so, subhanAllah, it's something that I was thinking about last night, this morning, and then as we're reading the 28th juz, Allah talks about this. You know, in Surah Nur, Allah says this, right? Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. First, Allah gives the example of the heart of a believer. It's completely enlightened. The heart of a believer, it's enlightened. It has so much nur in it. So think about that for a second. There's a nur. And then the next verse, Allah says, where does this believer get that nur? Fi buyutin adina Allah. So the next verse in Surah Nur, after Allah nuru samawati wal ard, is where do you get that beautiful nur, that beautiful tenderness, that heart? You get it in the next verse. Fi buyutin, it's in the masjid, right? That's where you get it. I mean, subhanAllah, Ibn Kathir talks about this. He says, you know, how Allah put it together. He says, first he says that لَمَّا ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مَثَلَ قَلْبِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, when Allah gave the example of the qalb mu'min, وَمَا فِيهِ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْعِلْمِ بِالْمِسْبَاحِ فِي الزُّجَاجَةِ الصَّافِيَةِ مِنْ زَيْتِ طَيْبٍ. Then he says, ذَكَرَ مَحَلُّهَا وَهِيَ الْمَسَاجِدِ. Then he talked about the place where you get that. That's the masjids, right? You get that. هِيَ أَحَبُّ الْبِقَاءِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Then after that, but then you would think, oh man, it's going from the nur of Allah to the masjid of Allah. You're going to think now it's going to haram for sure.
Oh yeah, that's good. That we're going to Baytullah.
We're going, this is haram. This is masjid Nabwi. Like, it can't, what's next?
You have to go to the highest point
Guess what happens? Apparently there's a dip. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيْتَى الزَّكَاةِ. Allah right away speaks about people that who are not in the masjid, who are doing business, they're doing the transactions, they're making money, but that making money and doing business does not distract them from the true pleasure of the masjid.
Mufti Saab, I have to say something. You know the feeling when you're teaching Quran and you're reading Salah? It's great. But I can't express from people who are there. I've been in this before. But when you're in dunya, Mufti Saab, you listening?
Yeah, I got some weird coffee. I just took a sip and it tastes like someone put salt in there.
Kismet. You know? So when you come out of the dunya, say you're busy, you're playing, and then you stop that playing. You're with friends, you stop that conversation. You're at work, but you suspend that meeting for salah. You're telling Allah that He is more important than playing, business. That رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ. How much Allah loves that. It's so powerful. It's a powerful ayah. It's a strong testimony of someone's faith. And so many Muslims do it. And I think Muslims should be proud if they're able to do that. You know, alhamdulillah.
That thing you just said, Abu Darda said that. Abu Darda said he was a businessman and he used to earn, he was saying it proudly, I earned 300 dinars a day. And so people are looking at this guy as a great Sahabi. Why is he earning money for? Like, why is he doing business for? And he says, well, ashadu salata fi kulli yawmin fil masjid. I pray salat in the masjid every day as well. And the reason why, subhanAllah.
Is this topic? I like this topic.
He says, the reason why he said that is, he said, walakin uhibbu an akuna min alladhina qala Allahu fihim rijalun la tulihim tijara wa la bay'a. He said, I want to be among those people who Allah has said, these are men, women, that transactions and businesses do not distract them from the remembrance of Allah.
I know what you're doing. You're setting this up for a grand slam.
No. So this is the roller coaster. I know what
you're doing. You're bringing this Surah Nur and you're going to connect it tonight with Surah Saf. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm throwing this pitch at you right over the plate. You're winding up for this grand slam, New York Yankees style.
But think about that, though. You know, in the city of Medina, Abdullah bin Umar, who used to walk around, and he used to see this marketplace of Medina, and he would see that حيث نودي بالصلاة تركوا بيعتهم. They would leave their stores. They would just put a cloth over all their merchandise, and ونهضوا إلى الصلاة, and they would just leave. And nobody, there's a merchandise is there, but no one's there to protect it. No cameras, nothing. فقال عبد الله بن عمر, Abdullah should say, هؤلاء من الذين ذكر الله في كتابه. These are those people that nothing in this world deviates and distracts them. What happens to us is those cheers then distract us from those tears. Those moments of joy and, you know, getting money in business, that they take us away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's all we have to figure out, a way to just understand this feeling and come back to it. Now I come to that part in Surah.
Overseas, you see like someone, like I say, a tailor or like a shop where a client comes and the owner or the customer, you know, the workers, the owner particularly, is gone to, goes inside to pray. The customers will wait outside. Sometimes even a line. This is the barakah of Islam. It's amazing.
SubhanAllah. So it's like knowing. So it's doing that. So we have the emotion of suhoor. Now, if someone at suhoor time, people are just sitting there still crying, and people come to you, you don't want to meet them and stuff. That's also not right. You know, like now it's time to meet people, be happy. You know, so people ask us like, yo, how does that happen to you guys? One moment they see you, you're breaking down as if your body's about to break down. And the next moment they see you're playing, you know, you're just choking around people. That's what Allah wants, man. The Prophet was, you know, a person who was crying all night but making people laugh all day. Like he was a good person, making people have a good time. But that good time, the problem with us is we're so weak that the good times make us forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not the Muslim people. Allah saying, هَلَ دُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ عَذَابٍ. Allah again gives example of transactions because He knows this is a good thing, man. But should I tell you about the real, real transaction that can save you from the adab of Allah? And then He gives example of believing in Allah. Then the next verse, in Surah Jum'ah, Allah says, فَسْعَوْ إِلَىٰ إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ جُمْعَةِ فَسْعَوْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ. When it's the call of Allah, leave everything else. Leave it. خلاص. Don't you think for one second that if you leave what you're doing for the call of prayer, that you're going to lose out on something. That's never going to happen. You think one second, if you leave something for the commandment of Allah, that you're going to miss out on something in this world. How is that possible? It's coming from Allah.
It's going to come to you. It's going to come to you.
You think about it. You think Allah's sitting there. He's like, this person just left this for me. Like, he left his bed to pray at night, and I'm going to deprive him of, you know, freshness throughout the day. Come on, man. That's impossible. You know, yeah, maybe if he got up to do something wrong, but if he got up to do something for me, Allah is talking. Like, we sometimes think of Allah as something like, oh, you know, I'm not sure. Allah is Qadir. Allah is watching us. Allah is close to us. He knows every emotion of ours. We're doing it for him. Allah is not going to make us compromise. Ramadan is ending. That's why I'm saying this. Ramadan is ending. And we were in this, you know, in this masjid feeling, in this feeling of light. We will have to go back to that month after Ramadan. In that month after Ramadan, capture these moments of maybe sitting with the Quran with us, these moments of dhikr, these moments, and don't let the post-Ramadan make you forget about how great this moment was, you know? And keep coming back to it. And that's the difference between Sahaba and
Munafiqeen. And then it becomes an addiction. Then it becomes an attraction. You know, it's like once you, like, how many times people watch Lion King? Over and over, like, oh, like, because they know the feelings and the moments they watch that, you know, experience. Sometimes someone goes on a ride, Medina becomes an addiction. Medina is an addiction because it's like, oh man, I want that feeling again. Even if it costs 2,000, 4,000, 8,000, I want that feeling again when I get there. You can get that feeling from prayer. You don't have to pay that much, right? Like, you can get that feeling from serving your mother. You don't have to pay that much. You can get that feeling from becoming a miftah sustainer. Oh, you gotta pay a lot. I'm joking, but like, you can get that feeling by doing an ita'ah or ibadah, leaving something for the sake of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, and just enjoy it. And I want to do it again.
Again, like how you Sunnah Munafiq.
You talk about hal adullukum ala tijaratin. Just like I want to hear. I know you have the ability through your genius capability to expand on this to another level. Can you do that?
Okay, so why did Allah say, هَلَ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ?
Should I not talk? What ayah number is this, please?
Ayah number 10 in Surah Saf. Allah says, should I not tell you about a business?
Chapter 61.
Should I not tell you about a business that will save you from the adab of Allah? Just if you take the word business, why did Allah not say, should I not tell you about a job and not versus business? So just to think about that for a second. And that's also an interesting thing, you know, like, you know, 9 out of 10 portions of risk is in business, you know?
SubhanAllah, say that again.
9 out of 10 portions of risk is in business. So, I mean, that's saying all of us should become business people, but, you know, if it takes...
Yeah, what's up? You have any idea? Maybe you give me some hints. What business nowadays? Cryptocurrency.
That's not business, man. That's Cheska. Anyways, okay. So you have this tijara. Allah is giving us this, the word tijara. Why? You go to the mall before it closes. At 7 o'clock it closes. I remember with my wife recently. We got there at 6:30. All these name brand stores that we have, you know, they're all in the Great Lakes Crossing. They're all like, you know, the shutters are already halfway down. And then in the middle, there's people that are selling earrings or, you know, some phone cases and all that stuff. They're in the middle stalls of poor people, you know?
Don't call them poor. They make money.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying compared to like Aldo and these other stores, they're in the middle.
Aldo, more rich store, man. Some broke store.
Typically what happens is the people that are in the middle, are, most of the time you see, they're like the owners sitting there, okay, on the stalls. And the people in these stores like, you know, Express and all these stores. No, the owner's not there. It's a franchise. People are working there. So you just look at the attitude at that time. If you walk in at 6:30, shutters already, if you go into like Express, I went to some like baby store, I don't know what it was, and we walked in and the lady, one shutter was already down. We had to come to that half the shutter. Half an hour, still like 20 minutes left of the store closing. And as I'm experiencing this, I'm thinking about this verse. I'm like, look, that's what Allah didn't say. Allah didn't say work. Because look, the store's still open, but they're already closing. They're getting annoyed with too many questions. They want you to hurry up and leave. And then I said, as an experiment, I went straight to the, you know, if you go to the stall, and I was just looking over the stall, now it's past 7 o'clock, and there's someone still there trying to fix a screen, trying to get you a cover. When you treat the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if, and so that's the first thing, right? So the first thing.
Hold this up. Bahut.
I'm not done yet. Yeah. If you treat the business, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives tijara because your door is always open. Wow. Your door never closes. Someone knocks on your door at 3 o'clock in the morning. Khalas, it's an opportunity for me to serve you. Your door never closes. But a worker, khalas, a worker comes at 9 to 5. A believer is not 9 to 5. A believer is not only Ramadan. A believer is 24/7 all year. That's why the tijara, the example of tijara. Second, I can talk about that more, but just as you am saying that, think about it. The second thing about tijara is this. This is interesting. The second thing about tijara. The second thing about, they say in corporate world, they always make people give them fake titles, like fake ownership titles. Director, assistant director, managing director. You know, they give Pat Patricia the assistant of the head coach. Not even the assistant head coach. Assistant of head coach. Like, they just give them this title to make them feel like they have some sort of ownership. Because statistics show that the more ownership you give to somebody, the more efficiency and greater the results. Okay,
that's so right. And that's why everyone wants to be director, board member. Yeah,
director, board member. Want some ownership, right? And yeah. So basically, Allah is saying over here, this deen, treat it like you own it, man. It's not, it doesn't belong to anybody else. If somebody, if you want to represent deen some way, what did the book say? In the height of emotions, as the Prophet just passed away, he says, "Ayan qusu deenu ana hay." How can this deen have any deficiency and I'm alive? Someone who's sitting there and is owning a business, the person who's working is not going to care about how good the business is doing. He just cares about 9 to 5 job. The person who's owning the business, he's worried about whether there's deficiency. At the end of the day, if something happens in madrasa, the person who's working there, like the janitor, if, for example, the madrasa's our institution is dirty, no one's going to call the janitor and say, yeah, why is the school dirty? They're going to call the people who run it. They're going to say to us, Mufti Saab, my son, my kid studied there. It's not clean. What's wrong? Even though it's not our responsibility, because it is we, the people who own it, have a responsibility to make sure there's no deficiency. And we try our best to make perfection there, right? So the tijara part is that, like, the tijara is like the deen of Allah. Every masjid, every aspect of deen, if we take ownership over it, then we would want to contribute. We would feel good contributing in it. We would feel good. The third thing about a business is this. The owner of the business, every person that's working in that business has a stake in the business operating and succeeding. Even the janitor, because if the business goes down, the janitor loses his job. So even the janitor has to have this emotion of happiness if the business runs. You know, he can't be like, I hate this business, because how about if the business goes down, you lose your job? You see what I'm saying? So now you have, everyone has a vested interest to keep the business going. Even though they're not all making that big bucks, but to keep their jobs, Microsoft, GM, Ford, it's in the best, everyone's best interest that GM succeeds, Rivian succeeds, Tesla, for the people who are working there. Now, I'm not talking about the people, the competitors. I'm talking about people who work there. Similarly, in the deen of Allah, if we look at this deen as a tijara, there are people doing different works. Someone's on the line, and someone GM is working on the line, someone's working as a marketing director. In deen, someone's teaching maktab in the masjid, someone's an imam, someone's running an institution, someone's doing some relief work. Every single person who's doing any work, we should feel happy with their contribution, because at the end of the day, who's winning? The deen is winning. We should not be envious of any contributions. We should be like, wow, we should see them, mashallah. Even though maybe it's not something, that's not my expertise. I'm not the person that welds exhausts. But if it's not welded properly, the car's not coming out properly. You see what I'm saying? So it's every aspect. Now, then the envy goes away. Then jealousy goes away. Institutions that are running, all hands and neck. We need everyone. We need yaqeen. We need miftah. We need qalam. We need zaytuna. We need everybody. We need all the scholars. Now, whether he's wearing imama or she's wearing hijab, all that doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you know, we want deen to succeed. And if we take ownership over that. Finally, Bajan, finally, the fourth thing about tijara.
I knew it. That's why I asked you, man. I'm so excited. I'm about to jump out of my seat. I wish I took notes. I'm going to come back, write these notes down, inshallah.
The last thing about this is interesting is a person who works, his tolerance level or her tolerance level is much, way less than the person who owns a business. For example, hamari auntiyan jati hain, khala, man, your mother-in-law.
When you talk about my mother-in-law, it becomes personal. Say whatever you want, man. Go ahead.
So khala, man, I can't go with her. You know some aunties? You can't go with them to the store.
In Pakistan.
Especially in Pakistan. Man, you go to Lahore to the stores, the Kapra Bazaar, okay? She walks in, she's wearing a, you know, mashallah, she's a wealthy lady. She's wearing this, you know, nice purse. She looks like she's a rich lady. She comes out of the car with the driver.
Stuff. Don't stay on the live session.
I'm sorry.
Because people are going to call her for zakat. I'm just joking, man.
So she comes out, okay? So she comes out, and check this out. I'm with her. The first time this happened. Now, those poor people, if anyone, imagine, I'm sure, if some of you seen like a market, like a kapra bazaar, a cloth market in India, Pakistan, you know what I'm talking about, even Bangladesh. So there's a guy sitting there, there's like two, three guys sitting there, and all these cloths are behind you in these like rolls, right? So the person comes up, and they're all rolled up nicely, okay? And she's like, ye dikhao, you know?
It's a guy. I don't know how they do it over there. They're so straightforward. I find it so.
And then she pulls one out, two, three, four, five, and then all of them like she's putting on the dude. Ye tiki ya, nahi baji ye. You know, and the store owner tells you that
everyone's banned.
Ban. Ye, number one.
I'm waiting for the moment where the sister call me bhai.
He's like, ye number one. Best mark, best, something better than
Kapra. Number one, you're correct too. A1.
He's like, A1 hai. You know what they always say? Iski warranty hai. Puri zindagi pehno, kuch nahi hone wala. I'm like, you think I'm going to come back after 5 years to show you my clothes? Are you serious, bro? Have a better marketing line. A1 hai. Puri zindagi pehno, kuch nahi hoga. Kuch nahi hone wala. Nothing's going to happen all your life. Weird. So like, you know, just selling it. They're taking it out one after the other. They're excited because they look like she has. We walk in, they're like, oh, these poor dudes have nothing. You know, in Pakistan, trust me, man, they don't even pull from. When I walk in, they don't even pull the cufflinks out of the counter. Like, this guy is like, it's a waste of time, okay?
Molvi sahab.
And then
they don't know this Molvi sahab behind the scenes.
So she pulls all this stuff out, and the guy pulls. And then after, subhanAllah, I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, I'm going to be picking up all these clothes. You know, Khala's going to go crazy right now. Chalo, main dekh kar aati hu. I'm like, he said, I'm going to come check other places. I'm coming back. I was like, what? All those places, all those cloth left there. She goes to the next one. She does the same thing over there. Next one. Plus, you know, yahan par aisi maal hai. Dusre bazaar jaate hain. Everything over here is just like that. I swear, at least each store person took out 20, 30 rolls. Each one of them. SubhanAllah, from that, I understood what tijara means. Because if you go to one of these places and the workers working there, they won't do it. But if the owner is there, they would do everything, you know, take it out for you and even give you chai and tolerate your indecency, okay? That buy even one, man. Just buy one for 1,000 rupees. They'll tolerate as much as they have to tolerate because they're the owner of the business, you see? So now the tolerance level increases. The khidma increases. Khidma, the serving you increases, right? And if you're working, you go to a worker who's working there. You want to buy? Buy it. Otherwise, leave. Because the worker has no vested interest in it. That's it. Move.
Just to save my marriage, can you say something positive about my khala too?
That's it. Khalas. How does that sound?
So, sorry?
I'll just say this right here. Top notch. She has top notch taste.
Yeah, my mother-in-law is the best. Alhamdulillah.
You know, that's why khalas are at the status of a mother. I mean, she's the best, mashallah, you know. But I don't go with her to the store anymore. She embarrasses me, you know, by not picking up anything. Now, check this out. Like, a worker will not go through all that headache. You want it? Buy it. Otherwise, get out of here. That's why the person working at Walmart, it's like you have to pay them to smile. Like, you know, the teller at the bank, it's not, they have no vested interest in it. But the owner does. Brothers and sisters, the deen is ours. That's why our tolerance level has to be much higher. Who cares, man? Someone says something. At the end of the day, hopefully you can sell them on something of deen. Maybe they won't accept Islam, but through your akhlaq, maybe they will start becoming neutral. Maybe they're neutral, they'll start loving it. Maybe from loving it, they'll start accepting it. Like, wow. You have to just, it's a business, man. It's a business. Okay, you know what? I don't got you this time, but I can guarantee you if I serve you good enough, you're going to come back next time.
Wow. Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole
idea. And if you're a business, you care about the reviews.
You
right?
care about the reviews, yeah. You know? I mean, look, man, a simple box cannot be packaged and sent if you pay someone to do it versus the owner doing it. It's a completely different ball game, you know? So that's what Allah SWT says the word tijara. We take the word.
And if you make this deen your business, think about if we think like that. تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. We're not only going to save ourselves from the fire of Jahannam, but we're going to save so many people because this and the word tijara, which is the deen here, is expanding in the best way. Subhanallah. You know, Abu says this, our father says this all the time, and he got this from Hajj Abdul Wahhab rahmatullah alayh. He said, everybody says, my business, my car, my wife, my husband, my children, my clothes, my this, my watch. But who is there to say today, this is my deen? Who's ready to take ownership, responsibility for that? They'll do it. So subhanAllah, Mufti Sahib, you know, I know you wanted to talk about فَسْعُوا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ. I'm so glad I told you to speak about tijara, because you started off from رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِهِمْ تِجَارَةً and هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةً. A top-notch, grand slam, starting with the philosophical ideas.
I don't think people understand what grand slam means, but one of the brothers in the group on the chat did say that when you said grand slam, you give Yankees example because no Tigers hitting a grand slam.
That's McGrera. McGill Cabrera. Nah, the guy is good. But then if you don't understand the grand slam, chukka, you know? Say then word. But the reality is, Mufti Abdul Rahman, is that this is why when you were speaking, you went so deep into the explanation, and I was enjoying it so much. Other than the jokes, other than the excitement and the laughter, the depth is real. The Quran is real. It's speaking to us. It's asking us to be real Muslims. Like, you guys, listen, we don't understand. Like, Islam is so beautiful. This is what we're saying is all from the Quran. You know, and every time like I see an academic writing, article, research, and I sometimes after like I poured so much time into this, I said, what a bluff. What a bluff. Like, you had to write this whole book to prove there's no God. Like, you know, the brief, this one book is like 500, 600 pages. It's like this, like, it's the Bible of the atheist, right? Almost. It's called The Brief History of Everything. So I read the whole thing. Every time they come to a complex situation, oh, we don't, like, it doesn't have a closing. The knots are still open. Move this up. You know, it's theoretical. It's very theoretical. Like, this, you know, and then, and they're trying to prove that if things can come into, look at one of these things, things could come into existence on their own. And how they're proving this? Fungus. Right? Like, and then these type of insects, these maggots, they come from dirt and they come to life. And how would life come? I'm like, honestly, this is the best you got. Like, with all this explanation, there's no way to prove the beginning. If you can't prove the beginning, you can't prove the ending. Thus, there's no God. And I'm like, 600 pages. Of course, I didn't read this in my like precious time. I read this in my time where I was gonna waste for sure. And story short, look at the Quran. One word, tijara. You can just expand on it. You can elaborate about it. It's like la yanqadi ajaibu. You know, it's just the beauty of the Quran never ends. Thank you, Mufti Abdul Rahman, with your explanation, with your time and your commitment. Everyone here, from the bottom of my heart, I don't know if this is going to say this, but from the bottom of my heart, we really appreciate you guys sitting. I wish you guys can send us pictures with your kids watching moments with the Quran or the top 10. Take a picture, photograph, and send it to us. And we're going to post it on Instagram like we did last year.
This sister asked about how do you know her daddy? We don't know who she said that it's a Kamani daddy. I mean, is it Mufti Hussein's mother? I mean, we don't know. So if you send us, I'm sure she knows us because we used to live in, we spent some time in Danville, Kentucky. My brother used to do Tarawih and Elizabethtown, Kentucky 2 years in a row. So JazakAllah khair for asking, but we don't know more details. Probably that's how we know. That's how my brother.
Of course, Mufti Kamani's mom, Rahmatullah Alayha, she was a great,
if that's a woman she's speaking about, she was a great woman. Yes, of course.
Yeah, she's a great woman. And when I used to be in Kentucky, I led Tarawih there for 2 years in E-Town. And his father and Mufti Hussein Kamani's mother took care of me. Iftar, suhoor, so much love. This is her nani. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on her and elevate her status. And of course, Mufti Hussein and Maulana Mubin Kamani are my dear brothers. Like, I have brothers with us. Mufti Hussein and Maulana Mubin are my dear brothers. I love them so much, so dearly. Words cannot express how much I love them. And inshallah, you know, this love takes us to Jannah, at least inshallah, because in dunya we don't have enough time to express this.
That's from mashallah. Her mother, mashallah. Say her salam to your family. Say her salam to all your
family. And I mean, they're such great mothers, great parents. They gave birth to a great generation, and now, inshallah, their generation and their grandchildren are going to do the work of Islam and make their grandmother and their mothers proud, inshallah.
Keep Sheikh Abdullah in my respect. Don't tell him all the other, just, you know, traction and all the other stuff. Just tell her some good, tell him good things, inshallah.
No, izzat to Allah ki hath mein hai. Everybody, you know, take care very much. Take care of yourself. Stay safe. We'll see you guys tonight. If not, we'll see you back tomorrow at 9:15. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.